at work one day, I'm like grabbing index cards at school, grabbing markers and pencils. I'm like, all right, we're ready to go. Like, we're going to make CTPs. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Came up with the format.
So you were pilfering resources from a public school system.
To better your disc golf.
This is horrendous.
There's a silver lining in there.
I was.
Anything for disc golf.
Welcome in to season 5, episode 6 of Unstable Disco.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Who the hell is this
guy?
Sir.
Just trying to pretend like I'm not miserable right now. Like, I'm doing that thing where if you smile hard enough, your brain forgets that you're...
Sure. Hey, it's working. You look like you're in a great mood.
All of a sudden, you're a judge from New Orleans.
Yeah.
When are we going to see the return of Judge Jason? That's what we need to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here, listeners. We are back at Callahan Acres Barn. It's me, Alex Seminary of Disc Golf Chicago, joined by Ryan Fancher of Unstable Disc Golf Gear.
Yes, sir.
Sean Callahan of Delwood Disc Golf.
Yeah, boy.
What's that expression you're giving me, Sean?
You said barn.
Discount. Jason Callahan of Bag of Tricks.
Glad to be here.
I'm here with David Pena from Berwyn Disc Golf Club and Disc Golf Chicago.
Hola.
Si. And George Pena, Jorge, also of Berwyn Disc Golf Club and Disc Golf Chicago.
Hey, what's up?
Rocking an Unstable Discourse shirt.
Yeah, he is.
This is how you do it.
That was a good one, too. And that's a good color.
That's a good color.
It looks great on you.
I got a compliment on this shirt once. Not at a disc golf course. A lady saw me wearing it. She's like, oh, wow, nice shirt. It's the one with the helicopter dropping the logos.
Yeah.
I was like, what is it? Like, it's a podcast. Her smile kind of started to go away. She's like, what?
Was she like, having NOM flashbacks?
I think is that what so. It was? Yeah.
She had like a thousand yards.
She's like, a podcast? I'm like, yeah, podcast. It's a disc golf podcast. And that's when I completely lost
her. The conversation's done.
The smile. Darkness, totally my old friend.
She went from being interested in you to dry as the Mojave Desert.
Yeah.
We also got Sheila the Deucer in the house with us. Queen of the Canyons. We got a cool episode here. We're going to be hanging out with George and Dave. You guys are doing so many cool things in the community. You're so humble that I don't know if you think of yourselves as leaders, but you guys are absolutely leaders in the community. And there's so many cool things we're going to talk about. So I'm stoked for it.
100%.
I don't even care what else happens. They brought us barbecue.
Yeah, I just want to hang out with the boys.
Yeah,
that's true.
I'm just glad they're here.
A full spread. Chicken, sausage, brisket, ribs.
Baked beans.
Elotes.
Elotes.
Frijoles.
What was the, was it a potato salad on the
potato
end?
Salad?
Potato salad. Yeah.
Dude, it was potato so good. What was the name of the place again?
Yeah. Shout out to Beach Avenue Barbecue in Brookfield, Illinois.
Ooh.
When you said you were bringing barbecue, I was wondering if it was from your old man. Because when I visited at your, during Ledgestone, you guys had that campsite and your pops was just on the grill, made so much good stuff.
Yeah, no, not tonight, not on a Thursday night, but another day.
But we will get to your dad at some point, because some of the things we're going to be talking about is that you guys are, you make disc golf such a family affair. We'll explain to listeners what that means, but some of the other things we're going to be talking about is the work you've done with leagues for Disc Golf Chicago and for Berwyn Disc Golf Club, the tournaments you guys have been running, again, the family affair aspect of disc golf, and what am I missing? You also have to organize course cleanup stuff.
Cool.
So much stuff behind the scenes. Really, really stoked to get into it. Before we do that, let's talk about what we're fired up about.
Fired up. That one was easy.
Bah.
We'll start with Jason. Jason's pointing to himself.
I got to get it out. It's been in my head. Go on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 69 of Unstable Discourse.
Baby.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Things are going to get weird tonight.
69.
Yep.
Let's see. We're going to make George and Dave do stuff.
Ooh. Yep.
Ooh.
It's on the wheel. So when it's we get there,
Kiss thy brother.
It's every spin.
There's a new space on the wheel that says gay incest.
Huh? Yeah, exactly. 69.
That's fingers, not even the weirdest
fingers crossed.
One.
Yeah. Exactly.
Speaking of which,
I can't believe we've done this that many times, all kidding aside. Crazy that we're here for episode 69.
Yeah, we're closer to 100 now than
zero.
Well, we have done it 69 times. You've done it like 67.
No, damn. That's not true. I've done it 67 times. Alex has done it 67 times. And you guys have done it 69 times. Because he's missed two episodes and I wasn't on the first two episodes.
Right.
Yeah. As Roy said, I can't defend myself.
Yep.
Oh, me and Ryan are 69 bros.
Cool.
Well,
glad I brought that up.
So that's what you're fired up about, is this episode 69.
It's a great. Why would you guys have anything else to talk about?
Yeah. I just want to see if you're going to elaborate.
Nope. We'll get to it later.
Let's go into the guests. I feel like sometimes we leave the guests to the end of the list. So,
yeah.
David, what you fired up about?
All right. Fired up. I'm going to go with the Sunset Dubs disc golf league that George and I are currently running. We're enjoying it. You know, we love bringing it to the people. It's something that we enjoyed playing in, and we're just thankful to keep that going. That's what I'm fired up about.
Is this the second year you guys are doing that, or how long you've been?
Yeah, second season. Taking over for Alex. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Could not have possibly asked for better folks to step up for that. Like,
right?
It was Christmas come early when you guys were like, yeah, we're down. I was like, oh my God. Cause I didn't want it to die. But I would have been okay with anyone taking it over for the most part, cause I just couldn't do it anymore. But when I was like, not only is it not going to die, it's going to thrive. Like, it's got two people who know what a good event looks like. God, I was so happy. And each time I popped over there, people are having a good time. And I played one of the nights you guys were hosting. You guys are running a good show.
Is it really always at KLM, or does it move?
We have been rotating. We have been KLM, Oak Brook.
That's right. We talked about it last episode.
Main course that we're trying to feature that we love, that George has been putting some good quality work at, is Summit.
I've still never been to Summit.
Consider yourself lucky.
One time a super long time ago, but not since
all the work
these guys have been making improvements.
It's also been raining constantly, so maybe we want to wait till it dries out a little bit.
I guess it's always been called Scummit, you know, because of how poorly it's been upkept, I'm guessing, but now not so. So I would like to go see it now that it is being worked on.
Yeah, we can get into it now, or you guys want to talk more
about it?
No, we'll get into it later.
All right. But on that note, George, what are you fired up about?
I am fired up that it is May, and
it's gonna be May.
No, it's gonna be June. And I do not have to go to work anymore, you know?
Oh, yes.
School year is ending.
How many days left?
Maybe 16.
Oh, God.
But who's counting?
Dude. As excited as you are, that is the opposite for me, because what am I gonna do?
Yeah, now your kid's gonna be stuck at home.
Yeah. So.
What's on the docket for your summer break?
It's always a lot of little trips, a couple of annual camping trips we do, going down visiting family in St. Louis. Nice. There's always the tournaments that we look forward to. We always do go down to Ledgestone with a big group, things like that. I mean, just the usual events.
So Dawn's not a teacher, is she?
Yes. So we're both done, and we're both like, we can hit the road whenever we want. Like, there's no you work on Monday type of thing. We can.
You seem to be a silhouette of your family. Just poof.
Yeah.
We out.
Hell yeah. That's some super
what is that
exciting.
That cartoon running sound? And there's like a plume of smoke, and then they're just.
Yeah. Well, it's gone.
Yeah, evaporates. Yeah.
There's a pina shaped hole in the wall.
Sean Callahan, yes, sir. What are you fired up about?
Yesterday, I got to work on Callahan Acres a little bit more. I framed up three more tee pads. We did nice. Ryan and Donnie and myself and Sheila helped earlier this spring. We put in three, and I framed up three more and brought one to completion. This is episode 69. I brought that tee pad to completion. So now there are four complete tee pads.
It was not faking it. Confirmed.
No, it was real. It was real. Just stoked to be out in the yard working on that. I've set a goal that I want it completely done. And Ryan's probably rolling his eyes right now.
Done. Already. Yep.
Done as in all the tee pads completed. Maybe some signage. Wink, wink, Sheila. By the end of next month. Because I would like to...
Yeah. What? Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Keep talking.
I would like to maybe by the end of summer, maybe around my birthday.
When's your birthday?
August 6th. It's always around Ledgestone, so I'll have to wait until after that because I want a bunch of dogs to be out here and have a little get together.
Dogs?
Bunch of dogs. So, fired up. I'm fired up to make some big steps toward the goal of being done by the end of next month, which I will do, sir.
Sure.
You got to believe.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. You sound excited.
I
sound
am.
Like you're in a ton of pain, dog.
Are you okay
over there? You're
really
squirming, dude. Do you need some, I got some liquid gels upstairs.
There's nothing that's going to help. I've taken.
Got Advil 2.
Let me just jump into what I'm fired up about.
Yes, please. Alex, what are you fired up about?
I'm fired up to get home and go to sleep. And I'd have a pinched nerve in my neck. So for a couple of days, I've been unable to get comfortable. So I went to the doctor this morning. I got a shot, a Toradol shot, something like that. It's supposed to be. The doctor described it as like injecting crushed up ibuprofen. And I was like, that sounds helpful, but it was not. Like, it didn't make any difference to me at all. Mm. And they gave me muscle relaxers, and that has not really helped either.
Would that not be the ultimate irony?
Right. Yeah. Would I take it off, though? I don't know. I've been in, like, I can feel just shoot. It's a pinched nerve, so I feel shooting pains going all the way down my arm. I feel it in my neck and my back. Lick my and I just can't get comfortable. So I can't wait to get home, take some edibles. I'm going to take another muscle relaxer and try everything I can to just actually go to sleep.
Got you right now upstairs if you want an edible.
Let me get through this episode because we have seen how edibles affect my ability to podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm fired up about.
Or lack thereof.
I'm trying really hard to not let it affect my mood. While every second I'm like angry every second and then going, you can't be angry. It's nobody else's problem.
What you did to me before everybody got here.
Yeah. Need to hit him with it.
My shoulders.
What?
I give good a mesolcius.
Go hit him. Go hit him live during the recording right now.
Building up for 2 weeks.
To say for the rest of the episode.
Yeah, do it now.
No,
I've gone for massage.
This is going to be hilarious. Massage
to work on this, you know, and I've tried a lot of things. It just keeps getting worse.
Yeah,
I start physical therapy this weekend, and this is what I think that's all it's going to help.
You don't have it.
Wow, that's
just go around the table.
Jason is massaging. I'm enjoying it.
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
See,
look him in the eyes. Look him dead in the eyes while I do this.
This is cold blooded.
Go do Alex.
Let me give him 30 seconds.
All right, Ryan, what are you fired up about?
While Alex moans into the mic.
Mm-hmm. Not the massage. He's not fired up about the massage.
She. See, she's trying to help, dog.
Ryan, what are you fired up about?
So I will take us all the way back to last April. In the long time ago's days. We lost our dog Melba, who was 11. She was getting on there in years, and she had a couple health issues and glaucoma and all sorts of stuff. She was significant to us, not only because she was our dog, but she was our first dog and the dog that we got immediately after moving to Illinois. I don't know. She was the dog that we'd always planned on having. Mm. And so she was very special to us. We lost her, and for about a year, we've had Eddie Spaghetti, and he's been by himself, and he's been doing great. But in January, we really thought, okay, we need to maybe get him a friend, and we need to have two again. So we went through this process. I'm not going to bore everybody with it, but it took a very long time, a lot of different breeders, and a lot of heartache over and over again, to the point where we were just about ready to give up because of all the setbacks. And again, I won't go through the heartache, but there were tears involved with a lot of it from the breeder's side and from our side trying to get something to work out. But a couple weeks ago, one of the breeders had heard our whole story and knew all about it. And someone that was supposed to pick up a little tiny Boston pup backed out for some reason. And so the woman called us up immediately and said, this one's yours. Come and get it. And so we drove up to Grand Rapids, Michigan 2 Saturdays ago and picked up our little 9-week-old Boston Terrier pup. And she is immediately now the perfect part of our family that we were missing. She's amazing. Since we have Eddie Spaghetti, we named her Alfreda because I think that's hilarious. Oh, yeah. So we have Spaghetti and Alfreda.
Oh, I love the name. I love it.
Now, and white people names.
White people.
White people.
Yeah. So, but what we have, this is our fourth Boston Terrier, and they're not smart dogs. They're really funny dogs.
They're cute as hell.
And they're
they make
great.
Up for it with that.
And but this one is different for some reason. We have a little bell by the door that Eddie Spaghetti rings when he wants to go outside sometimes. And
that's smart.
You know, yeah. But we've had her for less than 2 weeks, and she got it 5 days in.
Wow.
She's going over ringing the bell. She's figured that out. She can sit. She can lay down. She's still kind of like figuring out where to pee sometimes, and it's in the house, and that's to be expected because she's now, 11 weeks old? But
sure.
Like, she's figured it out. like, we'll shut the door to the bedroom and she'll walk over there and sit and bark until I open the bedroom. And then she'll grab a toy that she knew was in the bedroom that we didn't even, like, there's a higher level of cognitive ability in this dog that we haven't seen in the other ones. And it's going to be really cool because I'm going to try and push on that and see how far we can go. So
your other dogs, how young were they when they entered your life?
They were all around 8 to 10 weeks old.
Around this age. Yeah. And you're saying like of the four, even at this age, this one is like
far and away.
Wow.
Yeah. It's incredible. Noticeable. Wow. Like when you talk to our other dogs, like they tilt their head and they're like, oh yeah. And we've gotten to know them well enough so that we know what they understand and what they can do. Mm-hmm. Like Eddie Spaghetti now, if I tell him to go get his ball versus his little pig or one of his other toys, he'll get the right one that I'm asking for.
Okay.
But he's four and he's figured it out.
Right.
But she's already figuring that out. Like you can see when you're talking to her, she's like already absorbing everything that you're saying instead of just being a puppy, you know? So it's really cool.
That's incredible. So, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Love that for you. That's awesome.
Can you get those things that I see on Instagram where it's like the pads where the people talk to their dog?
Dude. I have some. We've never used them. I have them. I think I might try and see how that works. So
that shit is great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But she's adorable. And the weird thing is that she is not a black and white Boston Terrier. She is like a fawn color.
She's like a sepia tone.
Yeah. Boston with like a little black on her face, but it's a very odd color for a Boston. And so she's adorable. And she's perfect. And I've had her at the shop a couple times running around. And
can confirm Bostons are not smarts.
Yeah.
My folks have them. And the last two that they had, they could both just stare at a wall and just like, I'm like, what? Like, I'm talking to you. And they're just staring off into nowhere. Very cute, but there's nothing going on upstairs.
Yeah.
That's true. Because they have, I'm shipping up to Boston by the Dropkick Murphys playing in their head 24 hours a day. Hard to focus on anything when that damn is in there.
Banger. I think that's everybody.
Yeah.
Sheila, you fired up about anything? Nope, she don't care
about nothing. Moving on.
All right, that means we're moving on. Time to get into the Calahalander rundown.
Oh, game. Give me one second. Okay, deep breath, Calahalander rundown. This is the Is It Ever Going to Stop Raining edition.
He's right. These are getting fun.
Jay laughed. He laughed. All right, last time I swear on this one. The fourth event on the Greater Joliet Tour season is the 21st New Lenox Open. Jason, hit us with the tagline again.
Ryan, hit us with the tagline.
New Hampshire, New Jersey. New Lenox.
Nailed it. Good one.
Close enough. New year, new logo, new Lenox. The event is on May 25th and 26th and is AM only. Event registration is currently live and there's about 40 spots left. Not sure where those spots are, but between the four tee times, there's some spots. So get on there, check it out. I believe it's most divisions. I don't think any of them are full.
No, it's all over the place.
So yeah, can't wait for that. Custom discs have been ordered.
Sign up twice. Who cares? Fill it up.
Yeah, get on it. Come be a part of the day. Moving on. Delwood and the return of the Masters at the Oaks. Really excited for this event. We are bringing this event back and running it every other year. Registration goes live on Friday, June 7th at 7 p.m. And the event is on July 6th and 7th. That is a Masters event that we ran at the Canyons in 2022. Huge hit. Mm-hmm. If you ever see any of the maroon rain jackets that everybody proudly wears, it is from that event. I think we will do another high quality rain jacket this year again, so everybody can feel cool and a part of that. Ryan, maybe?
How old do you got to be in that event?
40 plus.
75.
You got to be 40 plus.
40 plus.
Am or pro, but I will also be running MA4 and FA4 for beginner 40 plus players.
Ooh.
I even confused Mike Krupika on that one 2 years ago because he said, why are you still running MA4? And I said, well, there's 40 plus MA4 guys, so I'll be vetting that. But 40 plus players only, sign up for that, is at the Oaks. Uh-huh. The Oaks is an OG course where we have never run an event before.
Oh, so
that's true.
We're super familiar with the track, of course, but we've just never run anything out there. So excited to bring that to the Greater Joliet Tour season. New to the Calahalander rundown. This is a new one. I'm going to give you guys all a heads up on the Canyons log / promote the Canyons log. This is the calendar.
You don't
this
have to say the slash.
I want to say the slash.
All right. Say the damn slash.
Yeah, I did. That's why I said it.
Fair enough.
You jerk. Anyway.
Look what you did, you little jerk.
Did anyone order me plain cheese?
Well, yeah, we did. But if you want any, somebody's going to have to barf it all up. because it's gone.
The Canyon's Log calendar. If you guys are interested in these videos that Sheila has been putting together, yeah, please reach out and get onto the calendar for the Canyon's Log. It is so much fun to be able to hang out with you guys and get around in. But it is so crazy with as many people that are reaching out, so we do have to put it on the calendar. Coming up here Thursday, May 16th, is going to be with Noah Feel and Austin Kapp. That should be a super fun round. Wednesday, May 22nd, we're hosting Eric Decker and Matt White. Thursday, June 6th, we are hanging out with Jake Kotke and Jeff Katranek. I almost mispronounced his last name. Wednesday, June 19th, we'll be graced with the presence of David Hopkins and Sir Stephen Ratchin. So even if you want to come and hang out with these folks, feel free to come and hang out and just be a part of that day.
Yeah.
Followed up by the next day, Thursday, June 20th, with Danny Brogy and Antonio Diaz de Leon, a.k.a. D'Antonio.
That's a little farewell round, huh?
Yeah, a little farewell before
it's
they go
off.
It's
got some like OTB Skins vibes. So yeah, if you want to walk with them.
Yeah, please come and hang out.
Yeah.
Or if you're interested in getting onto the Canyon's Log, reach out to myself or Sheila and we will put you on the schedule because they are so much fun. That is all I got for you guys. Actually, I'm going to kick it over to the Pinas. Do you guys have anything coming up or want to talk about Monday Night League?
Monday night. Yeah, I mean, this week, well, when are people going to listen to this? We'll probably be at KLM. So we'll be at KLM that Monday for whoever wants to come out, 6 o'clock tee off. If you can make it before six on a Monday, I know it's tough for people sometimes during the week, but it's a dubs league. So don't be worried. Like we do the dubs because we don't want to do uppers, lowers. We don't want to.
Right.
So sure. I feel like dubs is an equalizer. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like,
sure. Yeah.
And some people get intimidated, but you
the pressure's off, man.
No, the pressure dubs should be off. Like you should never say, oh no, I'm too terrible. Like, no, because if your partner doesn't make the shot, why do you have to make the shot? You know what I mean? Like it's,
you can only be mad at yourself. You can never be mad at your partner.
Exactly.
I need to come out to one of those nights. I haven't played KLM in a super long time. I need to come out and support.
Mm. Yeah, we should do that.
So maybe I'll drag Ryan out there and we'll come out to one of these sunset dubs.
I can't. I'm too intimidated.
I don't know if I'll be in playing shape yet, but I'll come out and at least try to film.
All of this unofficially brought to you by
DiscGolfScene.com.
Pinas?
Come on, Pete.
Hey! Yes. There it is. David was like, I'm not going to fuck this one up.
You got a little story for us on Pete, don't you?
Oh, I do. So I'm going to bring up the email. Give me one moment. Got an email here from Pete Christ, a.k.a. Come On Pete, that we all know and love from this golf scene, who also works for PDGA. The subject line is correcting PDGA member names in Tournament Manager. So a friend of his sent a link to the episode, the last episode, where I was complaining about the situation with Mike O'Neill and blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to dive into the entire email because it'll take me 8 minutes to read, but it is incredibly detailed on how to deal with that exact situation so that it is less stressful for me next time, whether I have good Wi-Fi or not.
And he explained why it is the way it is now.
Yes, he did, which was maybe the coolest part of the email, which I very much appreciate the behind the curtain look from him of, hey, we voted on it not being that way anymore, and it is different now, but here's how to handle it going forward. Pete, I super appreciate you doing that. That is so cool. Yeah. Hopefully you did not feel disrespected on that last episode. It was just some frustrations coming out in the moment of just horrible timing, but super appreciate that email and being clear on how to manage it moving forward. It was great.
I think he hit all the points. He was sympathetic to the issue. Mm-hmm. He addressed what the issue was, and it sounded like he appreciated you bringing it up because then he had a reason to address it for you and be able to correct it for you. And that, what more could you ask for?
It made me want to meet Pete even more.
Yeah.
Because I've had some good PDGA experiences and I've had some not so great PDGA experiences, and he is part of the great ones, and it just makes me want to meet him even more and know the story and know how, you know, seeing that behind the scenes stuff via the emails, like, oh, I have so many more questions now. Like that's how I felt afterwards was, now I have more questions than I started with, in a good way.
He addressed them so professionally that you're like, oh, you're the guy I need to talk to.
I always want to talk to you about everything.
Right.
Sounds like a formal invitation for him to come on to the show.
Ooh, Pete, if you're listening.
I wasn't sitting on there.
15 seconds. Yeah. That's good.
I like that.
Come on out, Pete.
Come on, Pete. Well, on that note, I think that's a wrap on the Calahalander Rundown, and that means we're going to take a quick break so you can hear from our little sponsees. Be right back.
Hey, Disc Golf family, it's Andrew Weary with Redemption Disposal and Recycling. If you need a dumpster, we are your go-to local contact. Are you getting a new roof, remodeling your house, or doing some landscaping? Maybe you're just looking to get rid of the old junk to make room for your new Heiser racks and disc golf gear. Redemption Disposal's standard-sized dumpsters are large enough for most jobs. The 15-yard dump trailers are on regular tires and hauled by standard pickup trucks, helping avoid any damage to surfaces, allowing for tight maneuvering, and the compact style helps minimize any inconvenience to homeowners. Our convenient and speedy service is unmatched, all at a competitive price. You can find us on Facebook at Redemption Disposal or email admin@redemptiondisposal.com. We look forward to helping you out with your future projects, but until then, we'll see you out on the course.
And we're back.
Yeah.
Sponsies?
Sponsies? Sponsies. I'm here for it.
Jesus.
I think that's cute.
I'm on the fence. We'll see.
Is there a variation of that kind of word, like throwing IES on a word that feels right to you?
All for Ryan. All.
Ryan, I know. Not it's all. Single Jason, one. I feel like you, there's at least one or two that you would get into.
Yeah, I can't think of any off the top of my head right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fingies?
Fingies was funny. No,
absolutely not.
I don't like fingies.
Not for a second.
Tom, fingies it's a Tom is actually a preferred thing. That's why I like it.
Fingies is tringits.
Yeah.
Tringits?
Tringits.
What's that?
They have their own. Sean and Sheila have their own language.
That one is from my father.
That's
Tringits. Tringits is my father. Just shout out to Jim Callahan.
Yeah. Let him know what outlets are called.
Wreck drinks.
Wreck drinks?
Wreck drinks.
Yeah.
Can I get an explanation?
Yeah. Electric.
Electric.
Yeah. Electric. Electric. Becomes wreck drinks.
Yeah.
Wreck drinks.
Yeah. There's no rhyme or reason to it.
This is the stock that we come from.
Yeah. So,
this is just normal for us. Me.
It doesn't make sense, but it makes total sense.
Okay. All right, well, it's time for us to get into the gin and juice. With the pinas.
I just heard the song.
We paused for the song to play.
The intro song, I heard it. In that 2 second gap, it 100% happened.
We're all on the same wavelength. Yeah,
we're just giving Ryan the space to drop it in later.
Yeah, it was very funny.
With so much trauma in the LBC.
Ooh, in the DDG.
Ooh.
All right, we got a lot of cool stuff to talk to you guys about, and we kind of started getting into one of the most interesting things during the break, which was Berwyn Disc Golf Club as a new organization in this area. We were talking before the show, and I think Sean asked, you know, were you guys founders? And I was like, I know you were like a big part of it, but just talk to us about how did Berwyn Disc Golf Club come to be and sort of what is it today?
It's founded 2022. We're some of the founders, you know what I mean? Like, it's everybody who was there playing at that park and wanted something better than what the park was offering at the time. It was the park district running a league, a weekly league there.
Really?
That everyone kind of hated, but everybody...
How bad was it out of 10? 10 being the worst.
Like...
10 out of 10 bad?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was 10 out of... Like, it's better than not playing, so 9 out of 10. You know what I mean? Okay, at least you're playing disc golf.
And the fact that the park district wanted to provide the programming, I have not seen that before.
Yeah.
Have you?
Very limited. Very limited.
So who was, who from the park district was like...
Do you want to talk about the layout? Or like the format, Dave? Like what the park district did?
So what they were doing originally was it was a weekly league. And what it was, it was a 1v1. So it wasn't like everybody together play your round. It was you'd have to go out, find who you were playing against, schedule your round with them throughout the week. And go from there.
Hmm.
So it was different. It was
definitely
just
different.
It's kind of
It's the park district.
It sounds like
take on it. Like you're playing softball.
Yeah, you're playing softball.
You're playing in a baseball. You know what I mean? It was like a park district league. Like once a week.
Traditional sport structure applied to disc golf via a park district makes
a lot of sense. Yep. They don't know about cards. They don't know about you know what I mean? Like it was weird.
It something that people had to buy into, like up front, or
The park district was getting a cut. You know, it was like $30 or it wasn't a lot, but you were in for however many weeks it was.
Man, and I'm just stoked to see a park district trying.
No, but everybody wanted to see each other. You know what I mean? Like everybody wants to go out and say like, oh, let's go play.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, I'm playing this person this week and that's it.
And if you got stuck playing against somebody that you just don't get along with, ooh, that sucks.
That sounds a lot like when Garb was running that like
match play thing through dynamic or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, and that was interesting because it was expected and there was a whole bracket system set up and that was cool. But just as a league, I don't know that that would work super well. How many people would show up and sign up for this during the
season? Like 10 to 20 guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but yours, like, or the Garb league, that is like an awesome example of it because it was like, it was posted on Greater Joliet. People knew who was playing who. We were cheering for people. I'm talking about like just a rec league.
At a small nine hole.
You
know what it sounds like?
Don't know each other.
Yeah. When we were at Old Oak and in the men's bathroom above the urinal, there were just like notes about who was playing who that week. And I feel like that's kind of what it was.
Yeah, right. So you guys wanted to see a better product and just said, let's make it ourselves. Let's bring the disc golf to the disc golf, right?
Basically. Yeah. We all had each other's numbers. We had already been talking. And, this guy, Peter Hernandez was just like bugging everybody. Like, come on, let's do it, Ari. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And so I call him in my head. He's like the godfather. He got the ball rolling. You know, he's like,
cool.
He wanted people to do it.
I see him quite often.
Yeah. He wanted people to play and he kept pushing it. So we came up with the format. And at the time, I think like there were three or four of us with PDGA numbers. Like this is a pandemic. You know what I mean? Like end of pandemic, people are loving disc golf, you're getting all these new players. That's the crowd. That's who was coming out to this league. So then, you know, we stepped up and we're like, okay, well, at work one day, I'm like grabbing index cards at school, grabbing markers and pencils. I'm like, all right, we're ready to go. Like, we're going to make CTPs. We're going to do this. We're going to do that.
Yeah.
Came up with the format.
So you were pilfering resources from a public school system.
To better your disc golf.
This is horrendous.
There's a silver lining in there.
I was. Yeah.
Anything for disc golf.
Yeah. And that's honestly how Berwyn Disc Golf started. And it was just everybody helping out, kind of like we decide on a day, show up, let's do it. We wanted a logo. I remember we talked to Alex about it. Alex sent over a whole bunch of different logos that he thought up. He was like, oh, you guys are starting a league. They're cool.
That he sent just over asked AI to make and then sent them to you.
Probably.
AI wasn't even like on my radar.
I don't know if that was like, that was
exactly
just,
what somebody that uses before. AI would say. But go ahead.
I'm not going to act like I'm a graphic designer because I'm not. I just grabbed a bunch of templates from Canva and like manipulated them to be disc golf ish.
Exactly. No. And then we sent it to Tim Gonzalez Smith,
who's an actual designer.
Yeah. And who is, he's admin. He's running the league. You know, he's the one running it now. Him and Chris Lee. Those are the two guys. Shout out to both of them.
Oh, Chris Lee's
a cool guy.
Exactly. Yeah.
We saw him playing out at Northwoods on like hole. Oh, yes.
Different guy.
Long hair.
Ryan's
got that look in his eyes. He's not
Asian.
Wrong.
No.
Different Chris Lee.
Different Lee. I think that's David Lee.
David Lee. Okay.
Right?
Ignore.
David Chris Lee. Chris Lee.
Dude. I thought it was Chris Lee.
Okay. David Lee Roth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our Lee is better. Yeah, but
yeah.
Chris Lee and Tim Gonzalez Smith, they are the ones that run the league now. You know what I mean? Like, they're the ones that stepped up and took over. There was a group of guys that got it going, and these guys just ran with it, and they're doing it every Thursday night. Whoever wants to come out, Proxa and Berwyn. It's a little nine hole, but it's a great time.
You said there's like 40 people weekly playing?
Weekly. It's averaging 40 guys, and it's very beginner friendly. That's how the league, when we started, that's how it was set up. We're like, well, we know it's going to be the same, like three dudes winning every week.
Sure.
So it's all CTPs on 200 foot holes. That's where all the buy-ins go there. So anyone can get them. Like my dad goes out, he was winning CTPs. Like,
He rakes it in.
Like,
how old is your pops?
I don't even know. He's 69.
You know what? He's 69.
He doesn't mean 60.
Ugly
69. He's
69.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Going back around.
Hell yeah.
Got up the senior.
Yeah. But people love it. It's a great beginners league. And from those guys, like people we've talked to, I've talked a few guys into PDGA numbers and more of them are getting PDGA numbers. And it's definitely like a chuckers. That's the crowd that comes out, you know, like guys that don't play disc golf other than this one thing a week. Like,
right.
We're not talking about guys
right.
that play all the time.
That's so real.
And it's awesome. Though. It's awesome.
It's real, bro. That. That's like, I feel like that's how real clubs start.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how disc golf.
True.
That is disc golf. That is disc golf when it's just like starting from this little seed. I can't wait to see the next couple of years. It's going to grow. Yeah. Like, Sheila and I swap stories all the time with like the shop. Who's Chewy?
Chewy?
He came into the shop. That dude was awesome.
Dude, Chewy, you got to hear the story.
Oh, tell me the story on Chewy. I got
to
know.
Procs, I mean, you know, they're short holes. Is Chewy, shout out to Chewy. He
Chewy,
hit.
Chom chom. Yeah. Chewy,
chom chom. He hits. This is an awesome story. He hit two aces in one round. Like, this is not during league. It's casual.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, they're out there. He hits two aces, one round. Hole two, hole six. They get to hole nine. Our buddy Amir, my barber. You guys see this haircut? This
is him. That was planned, baby.
He aces hole nine. Same card.
Wow.
All of this is happening. You know what I mean? Like, three aces, one card.
That's sick.
Our other buddy, Brooksy, Sean Brooks, he steps up, hits a woman in the face with a disc.
Oh, no.
And that was always the concern at Proxel, wasn't it? Because it's a busy park. It's a small course, but it's busy.
Yes, that's why it's only a glow league. You know, like Thursday nights.
Wait, was the lady okay?
No. Dead. No, she made it. She made it. She was fine.
She's still alive.
Pulled through.
Remember that scene in Final Destination when Stifler gets his head cut off?
Cut off.
Yeah. That's what happened with the disc. Yeah. It just went straight through. Yeah.
Wow.
Clean cut. Chris Lee also has the kids league going on. Do you guys know about that?
Not too much, but I know that he's got it going. He's had one event so far, had a good turnout, but that's just something great that he's got going at Proxa as well. I'm not sure of the days. Yeah. I think that this session, I don't know if you can still sign up. It's a park district programming thing. You know what I mean? It's through the park district. So the park district is still involved, you know?
Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
Chris is like the contact with the park district. They
love it.
Man, yeah. He's awesome. He's doing this league through them. And he's running a kids league, and great. It will be like, I'm sure if it's too late this time around, he's going to do another one. Yeah.
I'll have to reach out and make sure he knows that I'm a resource for just whatever he needs.
Nice.
Whatever it is he needs, you know, used discs or new discs or anything.
Now that you say that, I really respect the way, because he reached out to us. And I think he reached out to Hyde Park Disc Golf as well for some kind of like support. And that means he's only reaching out to people he has real relationships with, or at least trusts, but like, there are so many other places he can go, but I like that he didn't just spam everybody and ask for something.
Yeah. You
know, that's cool to me.
Oh, right. Yeah. We got on the Chewy. The aces, that's sick. That was three and one on one card.
Ace, face.
Yeah. Yes. Nailed it. So he came into the shop, and this is just one of, I always think of you guys because the ripple effect I refer to it as is like, there are so many people from the region where you guys are from and like the south, direct southwest west suburbs. I see it on a regular basis. And I want to tell you guys this on the podcast because like he was a perfect example of like, he came in, shouted you guys out, talked about Berwyn, talked about the beginnings. And I love that he's the type of dude. And he said this even, he was like, I would have never gotten into disc golf if it wasn't for this thing that these guys started at this specific place. And I love when stories end up that way. It was phenomenal. I love hearing stories like that. And I hear of them often because of you too.
I bet there are a lot of players at Sunset Dubs over the last couple of years. I feel like every other week you guys were showing up with some other homie like, yo, this is so-and-so. He's, you know, he's brand new, but you know, we brought him out. I was like, how do you guys have so many new friends? You just keep bringing to disc golf
every time.
Yeah. It's terrific. How does that happen?
Pandemic really is a big part of it. We had, you know, everybody was chilling indoors, trying to find something to do outside. So many old baseball friends that I had growing up, childhood friends, you know, we've been playing ball together for years, got this in all their hands. We'd be coming out, getting after it, you know, and then little by little, cousins, parents, nieces, nephews, everybody's doing it, loving it.
Hell yeah.
That's true. A lot of these guys, David has friends. Like, David's like a friends homies guy. You know what I mean? Like,
he's got hoes.
No. He's got, like, he's the only person I know that still has these friends groups, friend groups that go back to grade school all the time. You know what I mean? Like,
love that.
Like, this group of friends.
I'm jealous of
from
that,
elementary school, this group of friends from Little League Baseball, this group of friends. And he still talks to all of them.
That's so cool.
Like how, like that's crazy that he does it. And that, yeah, and they come out and they love disc golf now. You know what I mean? And like, and then of course it's also like our family. You
right.
know, like,
right.
Yeah. Like, Gerardo.
Right.
Our,
Serge.
Mm-hmm. Sergio.
I see Sergio like three or four times a week, man.
Yeah. Sergio's Gerardo's little brother.
Yep.
You know, they're, that's my, Gerardo's my brother-in-law. He's also, he wanted me to make sure I mentioned this because it's like a callback to season one. You guys talked about G-Force. You mentioned G-Force once, who had the most plays at Shanahan. You're like, oh, it's nice that you just tells us who plays where.
Okay.
Jared's like, are you going to...
Coming back around.
Jared says, are you going to let him know that I'm G-Force?
Oh, but that's who's awesome. Kid Clicky?
Yeah.
That's great. We've
closed that circle, but there's still open circles.
Yeah. But now Sergio's got all his Costco people. Sergio works at Costco. He's got like Barry Woodrow.
Yeah, Barry Woodrow. He just did a lesson with Ryan Costco Stilson.
Dude.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, it keeps going. You know what I mean? You get people in. You just got to put a disc in their hand.
You can play a game in Chicagoland called 6 Degrees of the Pinas.
Yeah, right.
It's for real. Like, they know, you guys know everybody, the connections. You never get past
the third round.
Right.
That, yeah. But yeah, you mentioned your whole family. So we know your dad plays, your wife plays.
Yeah.
Your kids.
No, they hate it. They're like, why disc golf? Like, you know,
they love dipping dots though. I know that.
Oh yeah. They'll go to the shop every day of the week for dipping dots, but they don't want to play. They go straight to the playgrounds. They love the playgrounds.
Well, what was it like getting your old man into it? Did you have to convince him, or what was the conversation? What did it sound like?
I remember it a little bit. Like I try to remember even when I started playing, but going back, we were at a family party that was at in Streamwood, I think, at a little 9-hole course. You know, he knew we were playing and he was finally like interested enough to give it a shot.
Curious.
And he loved it. He got out there. He was having a good time throwing discs.
Yeah.
And not only was he enjoying the sport, but like he's into like leagues and stuff now.
He'll do Berwyn. You know what I mean? Like he'll come
out. He came out to
Berwyn.
He's done flex starts.
You know,
he's
done flex starts.
He does. Yeah.
That's true.
He's come around.
He doesn't have a PDGA yet.
Hey, that's way more than a lot of people, man. That's for true. Real. It's, yeah. There's a lot of people that still just strictly casually play. Mm-hmm. And for dad to come out and do the organized stuff is it's so cool.
When I realized that was your old man at a Glow League on a Monday, I was like, what? That's the coolest thing, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He retiring. You know what I mean? Like, sure. He retired. He's got all this time.
Yeah.
And now he goes and he shoots a 9-hole. He plays 27 holes every day.
He goes by himself?
He just, by himself. Oh, he just goes out and does like 3 laps. And
you'll see him at Proxa. If you go to Proxa, he will be there. That's
Like he's going to be there.
It really is the perfect recreational thing to keep yourself younger.
Seriously.
Like, it's not intense, but it gets you moving. It makes you use like every part of your body.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. And what about Dawn? Did she have to be convinced or did she just kind of fall into it on her own?
No, Dawn loved it. She was competitive. Like, that's why I started kind of playing again, is because Dawn's cousin Ryan had discs. So then I'm like, oh, I have a couple discs. And that's when it started clicking and I started playing. When I started, it was just when I would go visit the college friends, you know, like the dudes that introduced me to the game.
Sure.
Out in the Quad Cities, mm-hmm. which is like a mecca for discs. You know what I mean? It's one of those places like, mm-hmm. you know, besides Peoria, you go out to the Quad Cities, you find some real good disc golf.
Like, yep.
Yeah. And that's where I went to school. And I was only playing with those dudes like once a year when I would go visit them after college. That was it.
And when was that? Like, when did you transition from like that to playing? Because in my mind, you're like Jesse Sainz. Like, you guys are like, have been part of everything forever.
Yeah. No,
but it's not really the case.
No. I mean, I was introduced to the game early 2000s in college. You know, like I graduated college 06. So it was like 02 started playing. Owned 3 discs until like 2014.
Okay.
And then Dawn's cousin has discs. It's like, okay. Like, all right, Ryan, what's up? Are we playing? Like, so then we started playing and she lived on the south side of the south suburbs. So it was a lot of the Oaks and a lot of Olympia Fields. We would go down there a lot.
Yeah.
And, and it just got competitive. And Dawn's competitive with her family too. So she loved it and she always be down to throw.
Her game has gotten really solid over the last couple seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Did Dawn win a Delly Award or what? She had some award that I'm thinking of.
She is the reigning FA3 Greater Joliet Tour Series champion.
That's what it was.
She's the reigning champion right now.
All right, so you've got Berwyn sort of history covered. You've got family element kind of covered. We haven't talked at all about your Itasca event that you guys just ran. That's maybe the most compelling piece to me because I kind of came out of nowhere. You guys were really quiet about it, and it was like, oh, we're running this tournament. I didn't even bother to ask you enough details about it, but like,
I know.
I was like, yeah, I'm like, I'm down to help.
I let them know. I let you know, and you're like, oh, okay, yeah. Like,
just kinda, just like you guys need a new scoreboard?
Like, cool. My buddy, yeah, like, you took care of you took care of the event. You got us like, everything we needed.
You need, I'll give it to you. But then once I met up with you to exchange the stuff, I was like, wait a second. This is way cooler than I realized. So tell us what that event was all about.
Berwyn, one of the Berwyn guys, this guy Roger, he works at Itasca Country Club. He's on their planning and like events crew. Because they just, you know, it's a country club and they put on stuff for their people all the time.
Yeah.
Like when I was there with him one day walking around the course, they had a hypnotist. You know, like they just put stuff on to there get was, people in.
Whoa. That's cool. Just Yo. At the golf course.
Well, yeah. I mean, they have You're a ballroom. They have a better. Restaurant.
They are going to hit the ball.
No.
You
I mean,
will
like
miss this putt.
This place. I mean, the place has a pool. It has a couple bars. It has pickleball courts. Like it's. They try to get their members. Yeah.
It's
like,
a vibe.
Yeah, they try to get members in, and they try to just put on anything they can. So he's like, "Why not disc golf?" And the owner was kind of on board. They have four baskets on property in a garage just sitting there because he's a fan. It was a good fit. I never really put it out there because it was their event. He picked the date.
Okay.
He put it in their programming book, like for their members. Like he put it on their website for members to sign up for. It was through, what is the
Sign Up Genius?
Sign Up Genius. It's a Sign Up Genius event.
Signupgenius.com.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Come on, genius.
Yeah. And
come on, Gene.
And when we were planning the event, we both were out there and Roger's like, yeah, it's gonna be cool. Like, let's go walk the course. He's like, wouldn't this be an awesome shot? Because they have it's an 18-hole golf course.
Yeah.
It's massive.
Ball.
Like, yeah, golf course. Mm-hmm. He's like, imagine a par four from here up this hill. Past this lake, around the corner. Like, I'm like, that would be...
That was the hypnotist saying that? Or
no.
You will imagine this. You will imagine it.
This is Raj. And I'm like, that's awesome. But these are going to be beginners. Like, these are people who have never thrown a disc at night. Like, this, you know what I mean? Like, it's not...
Par fours in the dark.
It's not going to happen. Like, it's not going to happen. Everyone's there playing it blind. So we set up a really fun nine, just a small nine.
And so this is like a lighted course.
No, this is going to be at night. Like,
oh, just straight up glow.
Straight up glow.
Oh, okay.
Lights on the baskets, glow discs.
Wow. Okay.
So, and with people who have never played disc golf.
Yeah. No par fours, please.
No par fours. Yeah. Exactly. We kept it to nine holes so that people can see, see the track and go back around, you know, not get lost.
Sure.
We made it so there was like a ghost card so that when you came back to the, after hole nine, you're back at the clubhouse. You had a chance to hit up the bar. You had a chance to like use the restrooms. You didn't have to rush.
Smart.
Yeah. And the buy-in included two drinks, like two drink tickets. Like they That's were trying to get people time. In the bar. It was just a good time. And it was more for their members. And there was a couple like blurbs, like people mentioned it. I know Phil Ash put it on like Greater Joliet once. Mm. And, I think
we don't need disc golfers to come out and dominate this event. Like it's not for us, really.
Right.
Yeah, but it ended up being a great turnout. It was half members, half disc golfers.
Oh, so that's then we just cool. That's a perfect mix.
Yeah, we made two divisions, like non-members, members, and there that kind of exactly two separate pots. It was awesome. Like we had some of the guys from up there. So like I mentioned, Phil Ash. A lot of those like park guys are local to up there. Bry guy was there. We had some bird brain people and Kevin Derrick.
Hell yeah.
Shout
out. Kevin Derrick, a member told him about it. A member's like, oh, this country club I go to is having a disc golf tournament. Kevin
so
Derrick.
So he was just like, I got to check this out.
Yeah. Skirt. Oh yeah. We're just doing check-in. And Kevin Derrick rolls up. I was like, nice. Like, it was awesome.
That's one thing I love about Kevin is that sometimes he just comes out of nowhere. Like, I'll be at events and I'm like, oh, shit, Kevin. I just didn't expect
Kevin.
To see you. Kevin!
So as far as the Bolf members went, what was their interpretation and how did they play?
They loved it. Like, we had two people not finish. And of course, I expected it to be way more.
Okay.
But two people didn't finish.
Did they just say like...
I think they probably just, you know, got overserved and just kind of decided to have a better time at the bar.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, yeah. But they loved it. I hear the feedback is great. And right now we're kind of playing like the slow game. We're trying to work up.
Yeah.
They already want to get another one on the schedule. So like June, July, there's going to be another one. Oh, August, sick. Another. You know what I mean? They're like, let's keep it going.
Yeah.
And then hopefully the goal is then golf off season.
Right.
Be able to have an actual tournament there, you know, because right now it's kind of like on the margins, like they want disc golf, but they only want it at night. They don't want it to interfere with members. Mm-hmm. It's delicate. So hopefully we're going to ease our way in there.
The way to do it in a situation like that. That's great.
Yeah. They're lucky they had you to advise a little bit and like, hey, let's remember who this is for. Oh, like you're saying it was the owner who wanted to go with the par four?
No, that was Raj. Like he's a Berwyn guy. Yeah. He's the one that got us in. He was the connect. He's on the planning committee. And shout out to him, Raj, Colleen. I think he's the assistant GM, Steve. They were all right there, you know, helping with check-in. Don was there helping out. We're getting the board going. Don's like, I feel like Sheila Callahan.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm like, slow down. You're not there yet.
Pump the brakes, kid.
Yeah. No, and then Steve, the GM, he's telling me that he played Ultimate and he went to Illinois State. This guy I knew on Ultimate, he played disc golf. Who's he talking about? Do you guys know?
Brian Earhart.
Yeah. And I'm like, before he said, I'm like, Brian Earhart? He's like, yeah. I'm like, you know, I'm like, I know who he is. Like, I don't think he knows me, but like, we all know who Brian Earhart is. He's like, oh yeah, well, his brother. I'm like, Tom Earhart? He plays too. Yeah. I'm like, we all know who they are.
Yeah.
You guys love know that. All the disc golf people because you have played in every single event in Illinois.
Correct.
For the last 5 years, neither of you have missed any disc golf event in the state of Illinois. Is that correct?
Yeah.
You've played more. How many have you played?
I've played more, but I mean, I don't go that crazy. What's awesome is you could play an event every single weekend basically from spring to end of fall. But
and you do.
You took the words from my mouth. What you guys do, that's the difference, is that yes, they all exist. All of us could be going to all of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't. You guys do. Like every single week of Hellwood, every flex, every tournament. Like I can't put into words enough like how much that means to us as a crew of people that put this stuff on, that you guys always take the time and you're like leaders within it for us. Like you guys freaking rule.
Yeah.
I just love the pinas.
Yep.
So much.
It's so funny because I haven't played that many sanctioned tournaments. I don't tend to do that, but when I do, it's guaranteed that either one or both piñas are in the division that I'm playing every single time. It's like they knew I was coming.
I know who my card. Are you signed up for Smooth Shanny
Rumble weekend?
Oh yeah, that's next weekend. There? We're rumbling. We're going out to Quad Cities.
One of our
annual A tiers. That and Ledgestone are like our big annual A tiers. Yep. Dave just came back from DDO last weekend. He just played DDO
out of nowhere. It just happened, but it was a blast.
Yeah.
Great weather.
What courses did you play?
Both of the Jones East and West, as well as Peter Pan. Peter Pan's unique. Haven't seen a course like that. Blast.
Yeah.
Great course.
Did you do MA2 or MA1?
MA1.
Okay. Hell yeah. Good for you, man.
You're doing it, Peter.
Just DDO out of, You're oh, doing just, it. I don't know, I guess.
Did you drive down there or did you fly?
I carpooled with a couple buddies, Ryan Olszewski.
From childhood.
You guys know Olszewski.
Yeah, he's known for 40 years.
One of our newer buddies.
Rhino.
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 Wanted to go
last
check it out.
Last time I was chilling with Ryan, I forget what event.
Rhino! Snarf!
I called him Eric a couple times on accident. I had to confuse him with Eric Gunty. Ryan.
Yeah, they're pretty close.
I'm still sorry about it.
White guys with beards.
We haven't talked about your course cleanup projects. You guys are like pretty deeply involved with Parked as well. Is Parked and Berwyn, is there a lot of crossover?
A little bit. Yeah, there's a few guys that go back and forth. Parked is more just because of like Summit for me and Dave, like because of where we live. That's, you know, we grew up in Cicero. Summit's 10 minutes away. So that when they got involved there, we had to like help out. You know what I mean? You're like, okay, this is the closest course to our house. Mm-hmm. Let's help out. And I mean, shout out to Parked real quick. I mean, Adam Ryan, Bry Guy, Skunk, yeah. Teddy this year, all the people who run their leagues, and even Vicky Pulitzer now. She is running a league.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
She's Heiser Honeys.
The Heiser Honeys. Yeah.
Such a sick name.
That's a new one.
That's a sick name.
Dude. Yeah.
Nobody snagged that. That's good.
They're like a machine. You know what I mean? Like they are fundraising. They're getting courses going. Like they're I feel so guilty. I haven't been able to make it up, but they're doing Island Lake every Sunday. They go up and clean up. Like they're trying to put a new course in the ground in Island Lake. I mean, for me, it's like an hour 15.
Yeah.
I have not made it out yet, but you know, I try to support their events when I can. Dawn makes it out to the Heiser Honeys. Like they just put on good events all the time. And everybody who goes to their events has a great time. And they're the ones that got the ball rolling in Summit. It was a course that it was just neglected forever since it, when you look at pictures of when it went in the ground, it did not look like it was done. You know what I mean? Like it looked worse. And it somehow those pictures look worse than it did when people remember it at its worst.
Yeah, right.
You're like,
come on,
like you went from worse to worse somehow.
Yeah,
like,
that's all I remember when somebody says Summit was, I have vivid memories of very specific photos of disc golf holes that are not at all disc golf holes. And so what does that look like now?
I mean, some people will say it looks the same, you know, like some people hate on it. They say it still looks like that.
Name names. Who's hating?
Oh, no, I'm not going to name names. But
David, who's hating?
No, you got to go. You got to see the U-Disc comments. Dude, they're hilarious. Someone like the other
G-Force?
Day.
Is he hating?
There was one the other day that said like, oh, tight lines, but smells like cancer. Because it's an industrial area and there's like this corn processing plant. It smells, you know, like it's a small.
Now
little,
I see why you compared it to Haynes.
Yeah, I mean, no, Haynes is a real pretty park.
Yeah, it's pretty, but it's always had a stink.
Okay. It smells.
A, yeah.
Waste treatment plant right across, the street.
I mean, there's Creek. Yeah, but I'm trying to get it to stick. I'm trying to change the name to Northwoods Brown. It's tough.
Oh, I mean,
you're gonna shoot over.
Dude.
You're gonna shoot over par. You know.
Yeah right.
Northwoods Brown. That's good.
That's great. Yeah.
There's not a name for that course, right? It's just Summit Park Disc Golf Course.
Yeah.
Summit, I feel like it needs a identity aside from just like the Summit Course.
Or lean into it. You know, like just it is it. What it is, and
just
like that.
Officially
just,
change it to Scummit. Just make it
like
own it.
Yeah. Just own it.
But like the Shanny was called what, just Community Park for a long time.
Yeah.
And now I feel like it has a
Frankery,
Yeah, it has like an identity.
Yeah, for sure.
Somebody needs to die. Anybody come to mind? All right.
That lady that got hit by the disc. What was her name?
Oh, Jesus. The park guys are doing such great things, and you guys are just I have footage of you guys at helping Parked with the Mark Grabovoi Gold Course. You've helped with Summit. What other course cleanup projects have you guys been a part of?
Summit's the big one because it's local, so we try to put in time there. And it's the type of thing where Parked has like is doing so much. You know what I mean? Like that they have to focus on their new projects. They have to keep going. You know what I mean? Like they can't help maintain all these things that they've helped with and gotten the relationship with with the park district. Like they've opened doors. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like the local guys have to now step through.
Carry the torch.
Have to carry the torch. So that's kind of what we do at Summit. That's what like Cameron Paulson is doing. That's one of their projects at Foxdale and Addison. And Lombard, like that's their home course. Mm. All the guys are there. And now they're doing Island Lake. As for us.
Is that a burb, Island Lake?
It's way up north. Yeah, I don't even know where it is.
I've never heard of it before in my life.
I don't know where it is.
It's
like McHenry, like up that
way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
That's too far for me.
Is there a lake with
that's
an
vacation.
Island? What?
I'm guessing. I don't know.
There better be.
It's real lake. Far north.
It's
way up there.
There better be.
Yeah.
Besides that, I mean, not course cleanup, but there's a new 9-hole that's been in the works in Riverside that's finally going to go in this spring that we kind of helped with.
Where's Riverside?
That's right next to me.
The like river?
That's,
yeah.
Okay. It's by the side.
It's by the river.
Side. Yeah.
It's on the side of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Rivers, you know who used to live in Riverside? Luol Deng. When he played for the Bulls.
Dang.
That's how you know it's a sick suburb. Like, it's tucked. Like, I mean, You guys remember Luol Deng was like
the man. I own two basketball jerseys, and one of them is Luol Deng
Bulls. No, he lived in Riverside. Like, it's a sick little suburb, and people really fought it. They didn't want disc golf there because they got these nice houses. There's Frank Lloyd Wright houses there. And they said, no, we don't want it, but it's going in. There's going to be a little nine hole. Yeah, too bad, guys. Terrific. There's a little nine hole going in there.
They'll appreciate it when it's there.
So I know you guys are doing a lot of cool things, but do you ever have a conversation about like the big thing you hope to achieve in disc golf? Like, is there a man like this is the thing we got to get to at some point?
Not at all. Not
just keep playing every single event.
Like total world domination.
I just love the game. You know, it's and being a part of it, being able to help grow it. That's what it is, right? Like just getting out there and being able to play as long as I can, really, and getting people playing as well.
I feel like that is your legacy, the Pina legacy at this point, and who knows what the future will bring, but at this point,
not just the coladas.
How long has that been brewing? the timing of it all.
In my mind, that is the number of people that you have spread disc golf to by way of inviting them to come play in leagues, but also the course cleanup projects, the hosting events. Like, you keep spreading. Like, you have, there's a whole ripple effect coming from just you two.
The Pina Ripple.
Sounds like an ice cream flavor.
Put it on a t-shirt. Yeah, the Pina Ripple.
I would wear a shirt that had your two faces on it. Absolutely.
All the time. All the time.
I would not wear that shirt.
No, yeah.
You're going to have to make it so I can wear it.
Don't make that shirt, Ryan.
I'm not going to make that shirt.
THC-infused caramel ripple inside of vanilla ice cream with hints of cinnamon.
Did you say pineapple or not?
No.
You have to say pineapple. You
got to have pineapple. Pineapple over cinnamon, and we're game.
Okay.
And there's a little bit of coconut.
A little bit.
Yeah.
All right.
And you shake it all up.
Does that mean your last name is Pineapple?
Yes. Yes, our last name is Pineapple. And you know, like, my name is, like, George Pineapple, or, like, Jorge Piña, you know, like, when you say it in Spanish.
Yeah.
In grade school, I knew a kid named Jorge Limón. we sat next to each other. Like,
best friends?
Yeah.
No, we were enemies, dude.
Give me
fruit enemies, dude.
That's what a real frenemy. A frenemy is not a friend enemy. It's a fruit enemy.
You're the fruit. You're the fruit.
The Latino Hatfield McCoys. Yeah. The pineapples and the lemons.
Jason, I doubt you will have heard this yet, but David has my favorite nickname in all of disc golf. Have you heard his nickname?
No. Lay it on me. What do you got?
So David Pina. Uh-huh. D Pina. So D Pina.
D Pina.
Woo!
That's going to get him through the rest of the week.
I don't know who came up with that.
Mental note next time I announce your name.
D Pina.
I'm glad we saved episode 69 for that.
That's right. So, is there anything else that you guys wanted to share with listeners? I mean, I know you guys have been listening to the show for a long time. You know what it's all about. So is there anything that is left unsaid at this point?
There's got to be like a list of corrections from all five seasons.
Nothing, Dave. I mean,
you want to tell us how you got started playing disc golf?
Nope.
No, we don't.
No.
Georgie skimmed. He skimmed that one.
I don't expect anyone to answer that. Buddy? I just wanted Ryan to react.
Yeah.
No. All I want to say is this... because we were coming on the show the last season, you know, I gave it a quick listen again. Like, it's really good. Like the Andy Padula episode. I'm waiting for that book. I want to read that book.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had so much more to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude's got chapters.
Yeah. I'm going to McLeansboro this summer for sure. You know what I mean? Play it and then head to St. Louis with family. Like, get I'm going to go play it.
Yeah. Let us know when you're going, because I would happily tag along.
Get it. Yeah. Right?
All right. It sounds like that's a wrap on the Gin and Juice. And now it's time to get into our fantasy updates. Ryan, let's do it.
Yeah. So there were two tournaments that we had missed since we recorded a couple weeks ago. First was the Champions Cup. There were no real highlights to mention other than some scores. I will just go through the scores real quick. Jay Lean had 120 points. Mm-hmm. Deucer had 180 points. Ooh. Wow. She had, Vino Makela is 62nd. Haley King came in 32nd in the women's.
Yikes.
Paige Pierce was 30th. Yeah, wasn't a great look. What's very funny from the Champions Cup is that since it was at Northwood, there were no ratings boosts. Normally you get points taken off because nobody shot above their rating there.
Right.
Not a single person.
It was I know that.
Very crazy. So that didn't factor in at all. But Deucer had 180. Team Callahounder had 148. Team Tailwind had 258.
God damn it.
Only because Eagle McMahon decided to play hurt and came in 90th.
Bad.
Otherwise, he was doing really well.
About it afterwards?
Bring back Oakley. No.
Depressing. It was depressing.
Yeah, it was.
But you know what? It was kind of cool to see him be a little transparent about his finish and kind of speak to the.
So he's
it
injured.
Was directly to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we reading
Dear Alex.
He knew. He was like,
yeah, he had 258, and Team Contentious Toad had 108, which I was pretty proud of considering all of the scores, but it still wasn't enough to catch Team Jaylene after the Music City Open. So after that, the scores were Jason 653, Ryan was 700 even, Sean was 840, Sheila at 866, and Alex had more than that.
I gotta be close to 2,000 now.
Not quite yet. But DDO had some highlights. So Chris Clemens had an ace, so that'll get all of us a spin except Sean because he had Chris Clemens. And
okay.
I did look at the scores yesterday.
Okie
dokie. Yeah. Okie dokie. And I was scared because we also said that if any of your players gets a +4 or more on any hole, you would have to spin the wheel. And Cole Radalin decided to peace out on hole 16 because they decided to make them wait because there was a playoff in FPO and he was playing poorly. And there's a whole big thing about him just walking off the course. But his last three holes were +4. And I was like, oh shit, that's three spins for me. But it's technically a DNF because he didn't actually play the holes.
Oh,
so I don't have to spin.
Oh my God. Cole and Nico both got 888s.
888s. Yeah.
Wow.
It was Cole's was originally a 999, but I'm sure after all of the hullabaloo, if you will, they turned it to an 888. So
can we take a quick moment to explain what that was? What's 888 and 999?
So 999 is if you DNF because of an injury or something like that with a valid reason.
Okay.
All you have to do is let one of the TDs know and you will be 999'd and okay. It isn't like an official DNF. 888 is reserved for someone that either doesn't tell anyone that they've left or does it for like nefarious reasons, like their rating was going to suffer or something stupid.
Okay.
And it's a punishment basically. So you get 5 points taken off of your rating. And for the pros, that's just 5 points. But if it were an AM, it's 5 points unless that 5 points would take you into a lower division. And then it goes just down to the line. So you can't like you're an MA3 and then you DNF on purpose to get back to MA4. You can't do that.
Got it.
So. Okay. They 888'd both of them. I don't know what Nico did.
Good for Jackie Morris. That's awesome for her to just put her foot down and say, hey,
great,
unacceptable.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know anything. I didn't know that happened. I didn't know that there was a thing.
There's a whole video about Cole on hole 16, the island hole.
Okay.
So I guess they were making them wait because FPO had the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just told them to stop. So I guess it was like 45 minutes of them just dicking around. And Cole had been playing very poorly the entire weekend. So he got up to hole 16, threw his shot, and it went right in the water. And he did this turnaround thing and like saluted everybody very animatedly, picked up his bag and walked off. It's on Instagram.
Oh my God.
And it was just like a, see you guys, like I'm not waiting around for this. Mm. And then I guess he made some half-hearted kind of joking around post about what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was up in arms about how
unprofessional
it was and how he wasn't taking it seriously.
Unfortunately, it sucks. I
and
mean,
so,
he's a young gun.
He redacted that and then made it more serious.
Just feel
post,
iced, like having to, totally. To sit like, that out.
It,
yeah.
It was a mix of frustration and poor play. And, you know, and he's what? He's 22 or, you know, he's
a young kid.
He's a young kid.
Oh. But and, it's his job.
But it is.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
I don't know how many times I have said that in the last couple of months watching these professional players.
Right.
It is your job to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so he should have just stuck it out. It was three more holes, whatever. Mm-hmm. He did what he did. He owns up to it. He made another post kind of redacting what he had said and, you know, like apologizing in, you know, half-hearted way. But
I mean, he's got it's his job, but like all eyes are on him. He's one of the like up and comers. Like you can't do stuff like
that.
Oh,
and you
man.
Should
you
see,
cannot do it.
You should see the Reddit posts about how nobody can stand him now. And I was like,
Right.
That's taking it too far, but it was very unprofessional. So
how do you handle that if you're the sponsor? What do you say to the kid you're giving money to?
Well, that's one of the things we talk about all the time.
There's no such thing as bad press.
There's no accountability. They basically put a logo on their back and then do whatever they want. They don't pay for their entry fees. And now that logo is
all over Reddit.
They don't do anything.
You know, like...
Sure.
Now you're affiliated with an asshole.
But I don't think anybody's looking at the name on the back of the dude's shirt.
No, look at Lone Star.
Let me tell you this: I'll never throw Lone Star plastic because of the guy
outside. Outside world, you're right. Like it's disc golf, it's DGA, it's Lone Star, it's whatever. But inside disc golf world, I mean, look at a guy like Nico LeCastro that has a bad reputation. That has an origin story. Mm-hmm. And I'd hate to see a guy like Cole Radalyn have this be his origin story of being known 10 years from now as the guy that kind of has a shitty attitude. You never want that for anybody.
Yeah.
So I hope that the sponsors are, you know, give him a call and ask him what's up. Why'd you do that?
Oh, absolutely.
Cole Radalyn, in my eyes, I think is a step, not even a full step, like a half step below Gannon Burr. Anthony Barella. You know what I mean?
No joke.
He's about to peak. Like, he is the same class.
No joke. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. And up until now, like, he seemed like a very soft-spoken, really professional, quiet, nose to the grindstone, just get out there and shoot as well as you can and be humble about it. And then you see this video and you're like, man, you really should have thought about that for like two more minutes, man.
I'm going to have to look that up. I can't believe I didn't see that in my feed.
Yeah.
But now I'm afraid to because I don't want to feel differently about Cole Radalyn.
You will. It's so animated that you're like, oh, man, that sucks. So it is what it is. But the moral of the story is I don't have to spin three times.
Cool.
So after DDO, Team Jaylene had 151 points. Mm-hmm. Suck it. Deucer had 104. Haley King was tied for first, so she had a couple. And then her alt was Sarah Hokum, who was out. So we had to use a wild card, and Hannah Wynn came in 11th.
Mm-hmm.
So you lucked out on that. And she played above her rating, so you only ended up with one extra point. So good for you. Team Callahallander somehow ended up with only 54 points.
You're welcome.
Ridiculous.
I want one of these weeks.
Right? So here's what happened with Team Tailwind. I want to tell you how good you could have done, but... Yeah. There are some players on your roster that just didn't play. Obviously Eagle, but James Conrad didn't play. Eric Oakley wasn't there. Yeah, I know. So what ended up happening was you didn't have five MPO players. So Bradley Williams was DNF'd. So we had to use Bradley Williams with 107 points.
Oh my God.
Because nobody on your team played. So you ended up with 200 points despite Bradley Williams have 107. So otherwise, Cat Merch was in ninth. Calvin, he won. So you were going to do great. So I feel for you.
That's a bummer, man.
It's a bummer, man.
Strong men also cry. Strong men also cry.
And I had 125
I'm
points.
I'm going to get the tiny wheel today, so I don't care.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, total points.
Total points. Team, after how many tournaments is this now?
A lot.
Nine?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Eight tournaments. So, after eight tournaments, it is Team Tailwind with 1,824 points.
That's a lot of points.
Team Deucer with 970.
That's the next closest person?
Yes. Team Callahallander with 894 points.
Your boy.
Team Contentious Toad with 825 points, and Team Jaylene somehow defying the odds with 804 points.
Yes! Still in first, baby.
So that means that...
I own a DM.
I was going to say.
For one.
Oh,
that's
got to
happen.
Yeah, please
do
that.
We talk all the time. Me and her, like...
Yep.
God, I wish that was real.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
I wish that you were really pen pals with Own Scott. Yeah, right? That would be hilarious.
Our buddy, David Wilmore... at Ledgestone camp next to her, and he just watched her putt every night, and he's like, that is why she is so good.
Yeah,
she just have a stack of like 30 putters.
Wow.
She got that's great what she attitude. Would do so every
good.
Day
it's great so Instagram
chugging
content.
Beers
yep
yeah.
I love David Wilmore.
That means that Alex has got a total of three spins.
Shit.
And everyone else has a total of one spin except Sean, who has no spins.
No wow.
spin
again. Yep. Boy.
So, pins.
No pins.
So who wants to get at it?
I'll go first.
Before we do, we have added four new items to the wheel.
Oh, dear.
There are new wheel items.
But I don't want to necessarily...
I'm so tired of being Bird Box.
Yeah. I don't want to shout them out until we actually, yeah, until we get, actually to, get them. To them. So who's spinning first?
I'm going to spin first.
Okay,
and
go
a
ahead.
One, and a two, and a
tiny wheel, tiny wheel, tiny wheel, tiny wheel.
How is it Bird Box again?
No, but first it's
PP Pants.
But it's purple.
It is a purple PP Pants.
But purple so, means.
Well, you get tiny wheel.
Switching over to
tiny wheel in place of PP Pants. Yes. Is that right?
Oh, we put PP Pants on purple?
Yep.
So he'll never get PP Pants. I don't know
why
he
did that. I'll never get PP Pants. But I'm about to hit this tiny wheel. All right, so let's go.
Big wheel. Big wheel. Big wheel. Big
wheel.
Auto-tune.
That's always a fun. That's always fun. Make sure you talk a lot.
We get auto-tune the mailbag. Auto-tune the mailbag.
Ooh, I like that jam.
We've had the two people that I would least want to have auto-tune.
Mm-hmm. They're auto-tune. Just going to sing.
I resemble that.
Ugh, okay.
Right. Yeah.
Now I'm realizing auto-tuned. That we have to change these on different colors so it can be switched up.
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay, so
Sheila's the only one that gets pee-pee pants. Here we go.
Tiny wheel, tiny wheel, tiny wheel, tiny wheel.
Oh, nice. It's one of the new ones.
What is it?
Wild card replacement.
What? What does this do?
Okay, so wild card replacement means the four of us, not Sheila, will pick who her wild card will replace on her team for the OTB Open.
For OTB, right? That's mm-hmm. next.
So we can pick Hannah Wynn or Paul Ulibarri in place of anybody else on her team.
Yuli's been playing pretty well, surprisingly. Him and Jerm both have been playing pretty well.
In Europe.
Suck it.
Will both of those players be signed up for OTB?
I don't know. That's a good question.
We should look at it.
Yuli just had an Instagram post where he was in like
Denmark. Sick ace. Did you see the shot? Yeah.
Where was it? Denmark somewhere?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Copenhagen. He might not be there.
He is going to be on coverage in Copenhagen, I believe.
Mm. So if we picked him in replace of, let's say, Barella or Ezra's playing pretty good.
Looks like he's playing Copenhagen Open on the 10th and will be at OTB Open on the 17th.
Damn. Okay. So
we could replace Hannah over Haley King since she just got her 1 point.
I know. Haley King just tied for first.
Just in case Haley's hot right now.
Yeah.
And confirmed Hannah Wynn will be at OTB.
Haley has gotten her some points.
You're not talking about the Haley. Y'all like, are you going to bring up the Haley King call this past tourney? Did you guys see that?
It was the OB.
No, she called a foot fault. She was about to lose a tournament.
Yeah.
Missy, right?
Yeah, she's about to lose a tournament on this. Someone's parking a shot. She's going to lose. She calls a foot fault.
Yeah.
And it gets overturned. People say no.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Christine Jennings, I think, was an official on the call there. And it got overturned pretty quickly. And I love the way that Missy handled it. She kind of backed away and just kind of put her arms up like, I don't even know what you're talking about, dog. Yeah. It was good. I don't know what she said, but it was cool.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Call them when they're supposed to be called, not when you need it to be called.
Yeah.
That's...
Call them when it's blatant.
Yes.
But, I mean, I just... Is that even ever happening?
Oh. It's just weird.
I don't think that anybody has ever intentionally foot-faulted in the history of disc golf professionally. And for her to do that then is...
Yeah. Great look.
No, not a
great
that look. Doesn't sit well
I like Haley King, but it's a pretty...
Yeah, I don't like it. Yeah. All right. Well, what are we going to do then? I think that's a good move. Put Hannah Wynn in replacement of Haley King.
Mm-hmm. And it's just for OTB then. Everything
just for OTB.
Yeah.
Should we do that?
I'm in.
I'll second it.
Fingers crossed that Yuli wins.
Alex is in. Okay. Yep. Hannah Wynn and Haley King will swap. Or is Haley King just totally out? Because if Haley King becomes her wild card and then gets third place, we can't do that.
No. Yeah. She's
out. So she's out.
Haley's
okay.
out.
Okay. Alex, do you want to spin three times or do you want me to spin?
Yeah. Let me spin three times.
Okay. Here we go.
Can I spin four times?
Here we go.
Tiny wheel. Tiny wheel. Tiny wheel. Tiny wheel.
Pee-pee pants.
Pee-pee pants.
I'm wearing black pants.
I don't think you're even going
to
get to
I
see them.
I think that the person that got pee-pee pants last has to squirt the person getting
pee-pee pants.
We all do. Oh, we all get a shot.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Sheila gets a first shot. For sure.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
All right, let's get wet.
Sheila should get an extra squirt.
Sheila's got the double guns.
Yeah. and the guests
from a table's length away.
PPBs.
Oh, no, you
yeah. She crossed the streams.
She crossed the streams.
Yeah, never crossed the streams. All right, Ryan's up next. Oh,
that's good.
That was, yeah,
that's good.
that's where all of it went. Oh, oh yeah, that was straight pee pee pants.
Oh, Jorge's got one.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it.
This is like hole one at Hellwood. You can't lean.
Oh,
on.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
That was full.
Yeah.
That was a lot.
I'm pretty sure he's off his foreskin.
You got it, dude? Hey, you got one more?
Oh, one more. Jason's up. Soaked.
We got multiple hits.
That was extra wet.
Did it cool you off?
The joke is, we all peed in those guns before you got here.
What if you get pee-pee pants again?
I didn't feel
again?
Anything until I sat down. Now I can feel the wet.
That's all great right. Audio content, but folks.
On your bowels.
Yep. Great audio content. All right.
All right. I'm due for another spin, this time I'm a little damp. Here we go.
Tiny wheel. Tiny wheel.
That was a good spin.
Tiny wheel. Tiny wheel.
Tiny wheel.
Tiny wheel. I just missed it.
Pick a disc.
Pick a disc. What is that?
That's a new one tonight.
Uh-huh.
So we won't do it right this second, but we are going to make you go to the website of our choosing, and you have to buy a disc that we choose.
To permanently add to your
bag. Where do you want to send, which of your competitors do you want to send me to?
Not competitors.
I think in this case, we said since it's the OTB Open, you should go to OTB's website and we will pick a disc that you need to buy.
Why don't you make me buy a Scott Stokely disc? Because I kind of want one of those.
Oh, well then definitely not one of those.
Yeah, not one of those now.
That is not what that spot is intended for.
No. All right, so you got to pick a disc. All right, one more spin.
One more game.
Tiny wheel,
bitches, and it was the hat of shame,
which means
it's tiny wheel.
That's tiny wheel. Yeah, for sure.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't hear you say it. You were so nonchalant about it. I didn't think you realized.
There was no level of excitement to get that tiny wheel whatsoever.
Oh yeah, I just got tiny wheel.
TW. I guess I'm TW.
He's injured. He has a pinched nerve. Leave my boy alone.
Ready, spin.
Big wheel.
This is my favorite. All right. That's the one that I put on the tiny wheel. I just won the warm and fuzzy.
Nice.
Everybody has to give me a very sincere, heartfelt compliment right now, please.
Starting with Ryan, going in order. Go ahead.
Please.
Shut the up, please.
STFUP. I know what I want to say. I just want to word it.
Are you
going to
cry?
Yeah, I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry a little bit.
Look how big my smile
is. Yeah, right. I think that your work towards your goal of being a top tier video and content creator is far and away better than you think it is. And I think you're doing a better job than 99% of the people that I see online. So keep it up.
Damn. Thank you.
Damn.
It's the truth.
I'm going to cry.
Bro,
thank you so much.
Yep. I really do think your chain is sick as fuck.
Damn it.
And I'm legitimately jealous.
Yes.
And I want one, and I show Sheila jewelry ads on my phone
every day.
All the time.
I'm going to piggyback off that hard for sure.
And you look sick as fuck.
Yep. Thank you. God, I feel it. This
worth chain. That every pinch.
We gotta get Sean a chain. He needs one.
All right, but here's the thing. Do I want one? Yes. Would I look as good as you do with yours? 1,000% no.
Well, wouldn't you want a video game instead?
I'd much rather have.
What about Spider-Man? a used Game Boy game
instead of a chain? But
just off the top of my head,
I came home from that episode and told Liz, "Can you believe this story?"
Yeah, we don't need to put it on wax, but.
Yeah.
The chain is sick.
Thank you.
Yep.
That's it?
You're
going to steal mine?
I'll take it.
I had it in the chamber. You just went first. Yeah.
Alex, I think you have a unique sense of humor. And some of the things that you say or point out about people are like so wholesome, but also hilarious at the same time. And I love that you can see that in other people. That you can point that out and see people for who they are.
Thank you.
Yes.
I want an example.
Oh, God.
It feels very sweet, but I want to make sure I understand what you're getting.
Oh, I don't know if I have one. But, like, I'll see comments on Facebook, and I'm like, that is so smart and so deep at the same time and also hilarious. Let me find something, and okay, let me screenshot it, and I will send it. But
smart and deep are two of my favorite things to be, so that's a really nice compliment. Thank you.
Yeah.
Can I have a turn?
Oh,
please.
But you have to whisper it to David, season, and David has to say it.
David, you say it.
Hey, I've been getting JK. I've been getting the shaft this season. This is making up for all of it.
Sorry.
George, so this and Dave is, just had a little knowing look at each other.
No.
They're weeping. Yeah. No.
I'm crying. I'm trying to hold back tears. No, this is to Alex and all of you guys, minus Jason.
Of course.
I'm just kidding, dude. I'm just kidding. You too. No, but for real, like, we wouldn't do what we do if it wasn't for you guys. You guys are the reason we do what we do. You know what I mean? Like, you guys put on these events that we get to play. You guys have been doing it and showing us how to do it. So there wouldn't be us if it wasn't for you guys. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, dog.
Thanks, dog.
Let's all go.
Can we take that spot off the wheel now that we've... I never want to do that again.
I don't want to do it again. Nope.
I like that spot. That's a fun spot.
My favorite.
That is a good spot.
Literally, that's the only thing that could have saved this season for me. That was my third spin, right? I'm done?
Yep.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. All
right. Who's
Ryan's
next?
All right. Turn.
Pass I got that one spin. Wheel.
Yeah.
Tiny wheel. Tiny wheel. Tiny wheel. Tiny wheel.
I'm nervous.
Hat of shame.
There it is. There's the goop hat right up there.
Guess
your
what?
Your favorite. It's gonna switch be your shame. Hat wear.
Which side do you want facing outwards?
Goob faces out.
Goob side? I didn't see the princesses.
Yeah.
No, I'll put goob out.
Okay.
Please get a photo.
Oh, yeah. Gooping out. Cover your eyes, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
I just immediately think that the hat wear has to cover your eyes.
No, this is not Bird Box. This is just Goob. Goob Town.
Yeah.
Goob Town.
Population me.
Mayor of Goob Town.
His goobness.
His royal goobness. All right. You don't spin.
Nope.
Did you spin?
Yeah.
I spuns.
Yeah.
You spun?
We've all spun.
No, yep. That's it.
We've all spun. We'll do it. Pray for me, people. Maybe I won't be in last place. I mean, for the season, that's never going to change, but I want 1 week now where I'm not.
Alex, will you shut up and just let people know that it's
mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time. They did it. Yes.
Jason.
Yes.
What's in that mailbag?
Let's find out together, shall we?
What's inside your mailbag?
Maybe there's astronauts. Maybe there's aliens. Oh.
Nick Kaminsky has our very first question in the mailbag. He wants to know if you could, and I guess this is open to anybody that wants to answer, if you could get on a card with three other players, who would it be and why? What's your ideal card?
I want George and David to answer first.
Oh, I was going to say, I want George and David on my card.
That's a vibe.
You go ahead and answer, Dave.
Are we talking pros or are we talking...
Whatever comes to mind.
Joes? Yeah. I mean, that's tough, but...
Any human beings.
I'll go the casual route with the homies. With my brother.
Dog.
My pops.
Double dog.
Love it. I'm going to go G-Force.
Force.
That's a sweet answer.
That's a good
sweet
answer.
What a guy.
Now watch George not pick David.
Don't pick
me. Like, nah, I
would say same answer. Replace David with Don. No, just go.
I got him.
Because you got him.
yeah, you got it. No, I mean, I would say I'm gonna go the other route. Like pros, the coolest pros to play with right now would be like Anthony Barella, Adam Hammes. Like they seem like they're like bros. Like I feel like they will laugh at you when you throw your bad shot. You know what I mean? Like they're gonna,
but
they're
not gonna hold back.
Yeah, with you, they're not gonna hold back.
Like, yeah.
But they're not going to be annoyed. Like a Paul Macbeth will just be like pissed that you're even
wasting his damn time.
Yeah, exactly. But I feel like these guys will have to do. And I guess I would want Dave there too, just to put on the thumber show.
Those bad shots.
To put on the thumber show.
Yeah, you throw all thumbers.
Bro. All
you
know, thumbers.
It's
people
how
love
I learned.
It.
It's how I
gotta
learned.
Give
people love it.
Adam Hammes and Anthony Barella a little bit of credit because when they started getting really good and noticed. They just seemed like the kind of kids that like you don't want on coverage. Like the cocky know-it-all, I throw far, so I'm cool. And they have come a long way.
They're doing a great job.
They have come far enough that like they are becoming the standard of what disc golf needs to be now. And so I want to give those guys credit. So.
Anthony Brella would not turn around, salute, and walk off.
No. Not right now, he wouldn't. Absolutely sure would. Not. No.
Then our next question, mm-hmm. I'm going to shoot to you three guys, because Brad Perini wants to know, if you could play with one historical figure, who would it be and why? So, Sean, Ryan, Alex, you can answer historical that. One historical figure.
I will say Helen Keller, because I'm sure I could win that match.
Come on.
Jesus Christ. She's going to hear
you,
this.
What if you didn't, though?
Real
my luck.
She's not going to hear it.
Actual blind aces. No. Real answer. Harris Whittles. I think that's his last name. He's not a historical figure. He's just a celebrity who died.
Yeah. What the? You know who that is? Most non-answer question or Harris? Non-answer. Yeah.
Do you know who that is? Question.
No.
Harris Whittles. No.
He was the. He was a writer on a lot of different shows, I think, but he was the little stoner guy who worked the animal control on Parks and Rec.
He had a tragic death.
The way a lot of people talked about him made me feel like it was a really true loss to the comedy community. And for some reason, whenever I see that dude on Parks and Rec, it just like hits me like, man, the world doesn't have that guy anymore. And
yeah,
to hang out with him and see why so many comedians liked him so much. He's not a historical figure, and I'm sure he doesn't disc golf, so kind of a bad answer. I'm done with my bad answers. Somebody else go.
First person that popped in my head, and I may need some help, but I think I'm right. Is it Teddy Roosevelt? Was he the president that was like super into like creating national forests and or otherwise?
I think so.
Yes.
Robin Williams played him in the museum movies, right?
Right, out of the museums. Yep.
I don't Flubber. Know. That popped in my head, and I was like, yeah, that seems... Flubber. Yeah, Flubber. That would be fun. That's maybe in an alternate universe, like the game gets introduced earlier and is implemented into larger parks. I don't know why. Popped cool. in my head. Teddy Roosevelt.
That's a great answer.
So maybe I would pick Sir Isaac Newton because of his realization that gravity exists. And
you want to show him how to defy
how to defy it.
Yeah. Show him some of the physics behind the flying disc. Yeah,
I don't that's know. A cool answer.
That's yeah. a very cool answer.
Science,
yeah, for sure. I like that
science.
A lot.
She blinded me with
science. How about Eve from the Bible? She'd be naked.
Oh, well, except for the leaf.
Hey, it might be windy that day.
Yeah, yeah. And pray that it's windy.
Hey guys, Ryan here. As you may have noticed, Jason's voice doesn't sound auto-tuned. In my 20-plus years of audio editing, I have never experienced a voice that it didn't work on. I ran his voice through the filter 3 times in total, and he is absolutely un-auto-tunable. I can only now hypothesize that the auto-tune effect may be a way to detect and sort out alien beings disguised as humans. He won't shut up about life on other planets and his eerie ability to listen to the universe, so now with this new revelation, I think the pieces are falling into place. Anyway, back to the show!
All right, next question. Eric Decker wants us to comment on the rumors that Sean installed the river at Delwood is a way to sell more discs.
That's not a rumor, bro. That's facts. I mean, the same thing with the rocks.
We just discussed
facts
it.
Sean, facts.
Fraction Run.
Like literally starts in his backyard.
Starts in his backyard.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So he's carved it out.
And this dude just all of kept the water. On digging.
I literally am funneling water from my yard to pump water into the
so that
hits Delwood. It kind of is true on... A little bit.
Yeah. So every time he goes back there and pees in the creek, that just adds to the flow at Delwood.
Yeah.
How do you respond to allegations that when business is slow, you turn up the current in the creek?
I undo the dam in the back and just let the water flow.
There's an app. Suck it has a dial on it. Yeah. You're just like, all right, I'll put it at 9 for today. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Oh, these guys want to cross over to the 8s? Not today.
For listeners who don't get the joke here, there was a review, right? Was it on Disc Golf Scene? No, where was
somebody wrote a review or yeah, a comment
about the rocks, yeah.
And say and claimed that you put the rocks on what, hole 8?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You put them there to damage people's discs so they would have to buy more discs. They said it seems so like sure.
Oh, it was definitely genuine.
It was a real comment. Like,
yeah, damn such the man.
An
yeah,
idiot thing
yeah.
to say.
He's also certain that there's a turtle floating in the air outside of his home every day when he walks outside as well.
It was probably that guy. What's his name? G-Force? G-Force. It was
probably him. Something like that.
It was probably him.
I think our last mailbag question before we wrap it up is going to be from Jimmy Frederick. He wants to know,
Jay Fred,
do you like how far Summit has come, and is there more plans for Summit? That way you can all be involved in that conversation.
There are more plans, but all of this rain has kind of pushed them back. It's been nasty, right? I mean, it has not stopped raining.
Okay, so again, since I haven't been at Summit, scale of 1 to 10, what do you rate the course overall?
Oh, I mean,
based on what it could be, I think.
Could be right now, like to get it to a 10, right now it's like at a 6.
Okay.
And it could get better. Yeah.
Okay. So what's the 5-year plan?
Right now it's like a hopefully 3-month plan. No, 1-month plan. Maybe 2-month plan.
Ooh, that sounds cool.
To put 9 more baskets in the ground.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Gone.
The 1 week, like the plan is to get signs up in a couple of weeks and get 9 more baskets in the ground. And we're just waiting for it to dry out.
Oh, wow.
So it'll basically be B positions, is what you're saying.
Yeah, B position. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Cool. So 9 holes will have a B position.
Right on.
That will just make it harder when people hate it already.
Lean into it. Georgie, I'm telling you, just lean into it.
I know, right?
Make them even crazier than the A pins.
Yeah, exactly. No, the other thing, too, is like the park's dated. It's all righty backhand shots, like hyzers. So everything goes to the left, like finishes left.
Mm.
So some of these B pins are to fix that, you know, like to make them finish straight or to the right.
Cool. Yeah.
That's awesome.
The lefty in me applauds your effort.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
Go on.
Is that all we have in the mailbag for today?
You know what? We're going to close it up right now. So sorry, it's taking me a second.
2 hours later.
There we go. Got it all tied up.
Why do you have to tie it up and then zip it? Just zip it.
Did you add new straps?
I think that's the string tightening.
I spent money on those straps. I'm going to use them. I want nobody to get in my bag.
That's not what you said yesterday.
It is a wrap on the episode. Thank you guys for listening. George, David, thank you for being here.
Thank you for dinner.
Yeah.
Dude.
That was so cool. Thank you.
Every other guest...
Future guests, you have to bring food now because of that's the
Pinas raised the bar.
Yeah, the bar's been raised.
Well, yeah, it was very cool to have you guys here, man. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As a preview of the next episode, I'm going to tell you, listeners, I just took a glance at the wheel, and one of the new spaces just says foot pick. So we'll see.
We'll see.
That means. It's going to be going down that road.
Until next time, guys, keep it on the fairway.
See ya.
Y'all be good.
Unstable Discourse is produced by Sheila Callahan. Edited by Ryan Fancher. Beats provided by Alex Seminary. And produced in association with Unstable Disc Golf Gear. Look good, feel good, play good.
Unstable Discourse is a Top Secret Studios production. You already know.
Very cute, but there's nothing going on upstairs.